I'm doing very well, thank you. Yeah, how was the weekend?
It was good. It was good. I'm a little nervous.
But in what way?
Well, I feel like I'm like on the spot if this is being recorded.
You know what we'll do? Let's do a couple of housekeeping things to start with, okay?
Yeah.
And we'll just kind of set this up, and when they go through this, they can kind of cut out some of this leading stuff.
Malarkey, okay.
Yeah. There's never malarkey. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Well, I thought what we would do, and first of all, thanks so much for doing this.
I really appreciate you
playing the game, and it will benefit a lot of people in many ways.
So this actually be used, you think?
Well, what they'll do with it, they will put it on their university CTA's website, and people will be able to go there and listen to an actual session.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we'll use first names, you know, for you, and feel free to call me, you know, if you want to.
Mr. Boylston?
Sir, please.
Sir, yeah.
And they'll, you know, we're never going to use last names or anything indigenous to use, so it'll be fine. I'll be blind except for Todd and maybe Drayton, and, you know, I'm okay if they know who I am. That's
okay.
No big deal.
Right.
Because I'm related to CTA just in terms of teaching some classes for them, et cetera.
You're famous anyway.
No, I'm infamous, Todd. That's
infamous.
Infamous. Well, what I thought we'd do, too, is keep it a little bit shorter. Most of the sessions are doing, I think, 30 to 45 minutes. So why don't we keep it to about half an hour?
Okay.
And then what we can do as soon as we conclude, I'll kind of, you know, lead you to the wrap-up, if you will, and we'll talk about some homework. And then why don't you just give me a ring back on the toll-free number?
Okay, absolutely.
And then we can pick up, because I don't want to short you, certainly. But I think it's probably best that we keep it a little bit shorter just for their purposes.
Okay. And tell me your number, the 800 number, so.
251-1696.
That's right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So why don't I give it a little pause, and then we'll just act like we just got on the line, and we'll say good morning to each other, okay?
Okay.
You okay with this?
Yes, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The nervousness,
I'm saying with a smile.
Well, the nervousness will go away probably in the first couple of minutes.
Okay.
You'll forget about it, and we'll get into the rhythm, you know, our typical rhythm. So
okay.
It'll be fine.
Okay.
And don't worry. If anything comes up that's out of the ordinary, we'll just cancel it.
Okay.
You've got that option.
Yeah.
So.
I think we'll be okay.
I think we will. Okay. We rarely get into that sensitive of subject matter. So.
Right. Okay,
well, I'm going to give you a little pregnant pause here.
Okay.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Just sweltering a little bit. But, we'll take that.
Okay.
So tell me what happened this weekend.
I had a learning lesson, actually.
You did?
Yeah.
So what was it?
How appropriate. Well, way back when on the, you know, 2 weeks ago when we were talking about cycling and teamwork and so I raced this weekend, right?
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And it was in the Chicagoland area, so tons of riders, very competitive.
Oh, I bet.
And there was a huge field. I mean, the largest field I ever raced in was like 60 people. And I knew logically what I need to do, you know, stay up in front and things like this. And right off the bat, you know, I sort of get caught up in traffic and end up, and then on the third, it was a very tight technical course. It was only maybe 6/10 of a mile with 8 turns. So it was
turns.
So it's really technical. So in the third lap, there's a crash. I get sort of, there's a split in the group. Long story short is I hook up with like, so I chased for a while, never quite got back on. Fortunately, I look back and there are like 5 guys like sitting on my wheel. I'm like, that's enough of this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like they picked up the pace. The pace work, so on their wheel, and I thought it was like literally like at the back of the pack. And Jane went with me, and to finish the story real quick, that so we were chasing, working like a dog, thinking, oh my goodness, I'm never.
Yeah, when you're the lead pack like that.
Yeah, so we're the second group chasing the first group. So with like 2 laps to go, it was like 30 minutes plus 4 laps. So with like literally 2 laps to go, get back on the tail end. I'm thinking, oh great, at least back on the tail end. Then towards, of course, the last lap, you know, there's this huge acceleration, and I come off the group a little bit. I'm thinking, oh, man, forget it. I'm at the tail end anyway. As I found out after the race that, no, I was actually at the front end of the group.
Really?
Yeah, and I actually caught back on, and all those other guys that I thought, you know, were out there, they were actually pulled by the referee because they were on their way to being lapped. So like 25 guys, maybe half the group was like pulled from the race, and the other guys crashed out.
I didn't realize they did that.
Yeah, especially on a course like this when it's really tight. Because the slower riders obviously just interfere with the lead group. So you come into the final few laps, it just causes problems. So they, this is like an official United States Cycling Federation. The guy, the referee, pulls those riders. So I'm thinking it's you know, over with. Well, and the last maybe 500 meters, instead of just like putting my head down, you know, and you know making a concerted effort to surge to grab those last three or four riders that were just dangling in front of me.
Oh, yeah.
I just sort of sat up and thought, oh, well, you know, this was a good workout. Well, as it turned out, I was towards the front. And Jane said, you know, you were right there. I'm like, you're kidding. She said, no. They pulled all those other guys. You were on the tail end. You could have easily probably finished in the top 10 if you would have stayed with that group.
I'm like, wow.
Oh,
wow.
So I finished 16th. And the learning experience was, as writing the story before, you know, it's finished. You know, I already played out the scenario of like, oh, well, you know, this is okay, not so bad, I didn't crash at least. Rather than like going all the way through and giving up on myself in the race, that you don't know what the situation is. You don't know what circumstances, you know, around you. So it was really like a learning lesson in terms of, you know, don't quit on the race. Don't quit on yourself because you just never know. And I was like, oh. And I, yeah, so that was a learning lesson. So
that's a great learning lesson. Would you have picked that up a number of months ago, Todd? Would you have gleaned a learning lesson from that experience?
If I was by myself, no. No, but because Jane was there and she said, you know, you were really in it. So, and it just keeps, it just brought to the forefront of my mind that even, whether, you know, somebody's there telling me or not, that, you know, you really can't give up on yourself and can't give up on, in this case, the race, because you just never know. And so now it's sort of like, oh, man, I can't.
Isn't that great?
You know, yeah, even if I would have, like, you know, worked really hard and picked off two or three riders, like, you know, top 10 still is better than, you know, 16. So there was, like, that, always that potential that, that could have done a little bit better, so that little hope, that ray of hope, so to speak.
So that's a great job, not just physically, but gleaning that from the race itself and taking that away and having Jane there to kind of, you know, give you a little perspective on what's happening, too.
Yeah, and mentally that I guess whether it's cycling or, you know, climbing or whatever, it's just much mental. And, you know, just stick with it, so. Anyway.
Well, how does that relate to some of the things we've talked about? I thought of a number of things as you were kind of relating that on things that you haven't given up on that you thought might be lost causes that weren't worth
like my job.
Small details like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. How does it relate?
I think it relates in the mental aspect of sort of the attitude of forging ahead, always giving it your best shot because you just never know. And in this case, it was a race, so, you know, something really physical, but mentally, I guess the mental approach is exactly the same. That keep your head in the game, keep your wits about you, and yeah. It sounds sort of a little rock, Newt Rockne.
Yes.
Too much Newt Rockne, like come on, let's win for the Gipper, but but it's true. I mean, it's like you actually experience it, and it's like, oh. So,
well, I do think that the journey you went through with the job and all the things around that, and at that point in time where you had kind of given up and you were seeking greener pastures.
Yeah. And then you just change that mental, that mindset from one of basically a losing situation to one of making the best of it.
How does it relate to some of the people that you work with, above and below? And
funny you should mention that because Jay and I were sort of talking about that on the way back. That rather than adopting an attitude of like giving up on staff that you think are basically hopeless, that there may be actually a chance of hope or some sort of some improvement that could be made rather than just shrugging your shoulders and saying, oh, well, or specifically like Daryl's case, that rather than just saying, oh, well, he's never going to change, using opportunities and situations that present themselves and learning that, hey, you know, if you present it this way or actually address the issue head on,
mm-hmm.
that there may be change, which is one of the things that this is all segues perfectly, you know, it's just like, which is one of the things on my list here.
Tell me about the list.
Well, I know we were going to talk last 2 weeks when we talked, we were talking about some role playing,
mm-hmm.
and then we have actually came up like very specific scenarios.
Excellent.
Okay.
Excellent.
One thing that came up was the not my job, I'll call it, syndrome.
Yes.
Just real briefly, no, we had a problem with the phone switch. The phone switch went out, and the guy who normally does the phone switch, he was out on military duty. So logically enough, the person in the office calls the person who used to do the phone switch stuff, maintain the phone, which I think is a reasonable assumption that, hey, you don't do it anymore, but you used to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the person that used to do it says, you know, I don't do that anymore. And they're without a phone system. This woman's calling on her cell phone, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So she passes it along to somebody in another agency. The number two guy in that agency says, well, you know, I really don't do phones anymore. Here, let me give it to the systems guy. The systems guy said over there says, well, you know, I really don't know. Here, I'll give it all. I'll hand it off to her. So I'm on my way to Hammond. She calls me and said, do you know anything about the phone system problem? I said, I just heard about it.
Oh, boy.
So I said, okay, usually, you know, because this is a multi-agency situation,
mm-hmm.
I call the guy in Chicago to say, okay, hey, here's a heads up. This is what's going on. The guy's name in Chicago is Brian. So it's okay, does he know about it? Well, he doesn't do phones anymore. I'm like, okay, is there anybody here that's going to step up?
And no option given, just he does not do phones anymore.
And he doesn't do phones anymore. Now,
mm-hmm.
now, to his credit, when we spoke later, he said, yeah, you know, he probably took that attitude because I sort of read him the riot act the other day because he spent like 4 hours on a job he shouldn't have been doing.
Mm.
But nonetheless, you know, it was very frustrating that got all the way down, all these people, it's not my job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that perhaps we get time to. But more pointedly, regarding the role-playing was in literally like giving up and or not giving up as the case may be on staff and trying to incite change, was another situation regarding Daryl that I've sort of got some through the grapevine that Daryl's excluded and, you know, he doesn't want to, we don't really include him in things. Well, there
mm-hmm.
were two situations. One was we were having like a staff district meeting between us and two other agencies just to brainstorm, talk about how we're doing things. I can't go. I don't want to go. There's no point in me going. Okay. And then the other thing is we're heading out to Hammond tomorrow to meet with a vendor to talk about a network problem, and we just decided to contract somebody for a few hours just so we get to the root of the matter. So it's going to be like a learning, fix-it, training-type situation, right?
Yes.
Nah, I have to go to Lafayette on Thursday. No, I can't make it. So the specific, I guess, role play is, or that I was thinking of, is
mm-hmm.
the old me would say, you know, if you don't want to go, fine. That's your choice.
And what would you think when you said that?
Who, me now?
If you said that to him.
Now?
No, in the past.
Oh, in the past. What would I think
mm-hmm.
of, I'm sorry, think of what?
Well, just in terms of when you make that statement, you were just kind of brushing him off and saying, okay, he's a lost
cause. Oh, yeah,
lost
yeah.
cause.
If you
don't
want to go, yeah.
You're...
Yeah, it's just
okay.
Like, if you don't want to go, that's fine, you know. But now I actually want to, like, bring it up to him, but in a nice way without putting him on the defensive
mm-hmm.
and without making it sounding like it's mandatory, because it's really not. I mean, it's just really an opportunity to learn. So it's one of those things where I could, like, try to be more aware and be more sensitive so I don't put him on the defensive. And yet, I don't want it to make it sound like, okay, you have to go, and I'm reading you, you know, the riot act, but you're
mm-hmm.
not going.
And using some of that information that you've obtained in terms of him not necessarily feeling included?
Right. So I'm thinking
okay.
it's quite the I don't know, paradox or that dichotomy.
Mm-hmm.
That how can someone feel not included when you're actually invited and say, nah,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to. So the two seem a bit contradictory to me.
So should you take this opportunity with an invitation, or do you think that you should approach him just without necessarily the invitation waiting in the wings just to deal with some of these things?
I think the invitation could be a good segue.
Okay, good.
I mean, like a way to start dialogue, I guess, about
okay.
other things. But using this, you know, without saying, yeah, I heard that you get sort of disgruntled because you don't feel you're included. But here we're, you know, asking you and you're saying no.
Mm-hmm.
So whose fault is that?
Mm-hmm.
So without sounding like that, of course.
Yes, sure. Well, do you want to go ahead and jump into that one?
Yeah, I would, because I would like to get it at the heart of it, like actually what's going on, at, you know, in his head. And like you said, if when in doubt, just ask. Maybe just ask, why don't you want to go? Or say,
mm-hmm.
Daryl, in the past you've mentioned that you'd like to go to Hammond, that you haven't been there. Is there a reason why you don't want to go with us tomorrow?
Okay. And this will play itself out in other conversations as well, would it not?
It would, yes, definitely.
Okay, because you've got a few people that kind of fit this mold, if you will, just a little different nuances but same issues?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Not so much like being left out, it's just more like stepping up to you know, make decisions and do things like that. But, yeah, it all sort of filters together or
okay.
streamlines together.
And this will play to what we've discussed in terms of the individual plans for the people and having the discussions around.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay, around what you have done to change and what you're doing now in terms of the values, et cetera.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I think
okay.
this would be, at least in my mind's eye, a good starting point.
Okay.
Because in the past I would just ignore it, but now I actually want to address it and find out what's going on and actually express concern or interest in what he's worried about or concerned about.
Terrific.
So I think it's like, yeah, a stepping stone.
You know, I think, Todd, back to our last conversation, it was one point that I had put in the notes about when you talked about learned helplessness.
Yeah.
It was a huge point. And I think that what you were feeling when you look at Daryl and some others, you know, what are they feeling? Is it along the same lines?
Could be. See, I don't know if it's that or if it's just apathy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Could they go hand in glove, though?
Could they what?
Could they go hand in glove, the learned helplessness and apathy? And...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Good point, yeah.
Now, tell me the main points that you want to either make or what you want to get from this conversation with Daryl. What do you want to find out?
Okay, I guess the main points are that Daryl's mentioned recently that, you know, he would like to go to Hammond again because he hasn't been there a while because it's certainly not mandatory for him to go, but he was conscious enough to say, hey, I'd like to get back over there.
Mm-hmm.
So one is he said it, so I think he should act on it. But moreover is actually find out why he doesn't think it'd be worth his time or if he has something else going on that he considers more important. Basically why he just says, no, I'm busy, or if he just doesn't want to travel, you know, 2 days in the week. So
okay.
I guess get at his motives for not wanting to go.
Okay, good. And what when you get those motives, what points do you get across that you want him to take away from the conversation?
That it could be a valuable learning experience. We're setting it up so we all have an opportunity to learn from this outside consultant
mm-hmm.
coming in. And I guess the other thing is that we're doing it actually together. You know, it's not like, okay, I'm the network person, so therefore I'm doing this, that we all have a role in this and we all could learn from it. And it's just not – so I could easily say, okay, Mary, you go and do it, or no, I'll go and do this. But that I want to extend the opportunity for everybody to learn from it. It's not an exclusive type club where only certain people are going to know, you know, what's going on with this network switch, for example.
Excellent. Excellent. And tell me what tools that you can bring to the conversation from Crucial Conversations.
Ah, For some reason, the one that always sticks in my mind is making him feel safe, that I'm not putting him on the spot or making him defensive, that I actually want like open dialogue, or, you know, I want him to be honest, and I just say, you know, what he thinks he should say.
Okay.
That's a big one, and so therefore I don't want to be intimidating or put him on the defensive. Yeah.
And could that be an issue, given that you have changed so much, and he hasn't really seen or been around you enough to discern all of those changes, and you're going to be coming at him from a different angle, aren't you?
I would like to, yes.
So he might do what in the first, you know, 30 to 60 seconds of this conversation?
His typical pattern would be to basically hem and haw. Well, I just didn't see the point. You know, other people are going. Why should I have to go?
Okay. And when will you know, Todd, in the conversation, when he's kind of turned the corner and he's starting to open up a little bit more?
If I can make him feel safe, so to speak, and then actually it is an invitation for all of us, or an opportunity for all of us to learn, rather than sort of have this segmented hierarchy of who does what. Yeah, I think that may say, well, yeah, that may be worthwhile to know, or something to that effect.
Okay. And the perfect outcome would be what?
Perfect outcome, he says, you know, yeah, I think it would be helpful after all, and come along.
Okay, great. So that's what you're holding as the outcome you're looking for.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Perfect.
Without twisting his arm, saying, you know, okay. Don't
yeah, if they're screaming involved. Well, tell me when you're ready.
Okay. Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I'll just start as if I were going to talk to him, okay?
Great.
Okay. Daryl, do you have a minute to talk?
Sure.
Okay. You mentioned the path that we'd like to go to Hammond. And, you know, we set up this training opportunity for the Cisco vendor to come in and help us troubleshoot the switch. So, you know, Mary and Brian and I are going to go to see what's wrong and use it as a learning experience. And since you've expressed an interest in the past of going to Hammond, I was wondering if you have any reasons that you don't want to go.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm really busy, Todd. I don't know. I hadn't really thought about it that much.
Role-playing is so good.
Would that be a reaction from you?
Yes, it would.
Okay.
Yeah, it really would. That was actually very good. Okay, I haven't thought about much.
May I stop you there for a second?
Yes, please.
You initially kind of drilled down on specifics. Is there a statement that you could make that would kind of set the tone of the conversation more in a macro sense in terms of him being a valuable member of the team and his contributions are very important, and get to the essence of where he fits in, as we've talked about with the pieces of the puzzle with your team? You went right to a specific, and that's fine if you feel that works. Is there a different approach that may get him to kind of open up a little bit more and kind of puff his chest out to start with and feel a sense of being included before you get to the specifics?
Yes. Okay, let's redo it then, okay?
Okay.
Good idea. Okay, good point. Okay. Daryl, do you have a minute to talk?
I do.
Okay, good. You've mentioned in the past that you want to go to Hammond, and you know tomorrow we're going to meet the Cisco vendor to talk about the networking switch. And since you've played an integral part in the Novell networking here, as well as across the district, I was wondering why there was a specific reason you decided not to join us.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, Todd, but those things you know, come up a lot. I'm busy. You know, I'm not really sure how it's going to benefit me.
Okay. Can I stop now?
Yes.
So here's where I would get caught in, like, almost debating, like,
mm-hmm.
or convincing why it would be beneficial. It's like, well, it would be beneficial because we're all getting together. It's going to be a good training opportunity. Is that what I should do? Like, convince, be able to convince him?
Well, is that what you want to get to? Is the outcome convincing him, or is the outcome finding out where he's coming from?
Finding out where he's coming from.
Okay. So think about the questions along those lines, and do you consider him a valuable member of your team?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. What can you tell him around that, and then get to, again, some of the bigger issues versus the specifics around this trip? Because the essence of this, the trip is a symptom, is it not?
Yeah, I would say a symptom, right.
Okay. So you want to get to the reasons why. So start with the questions and take a step back and get it 30,000 feet versus down in the weeds right now.
Okay. Can you go with simply, is there a reason you don't want to travel to Hammond with us? Because it's not even a network issue. It's more just like, is there a reason why you don't want to leave your desk to travel?
Now, think about a question like that.
Yeah.
What does that do to someone?
Oh, it probably puts them on the defensive to make them feel
okay.
Like they sort of implying that they don't want to be around us.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. So okay. Is that where you want to start off?
No.
Okay.
Think
about your outcome.
Okay, the outcome is feelings of why he doesn't want to go.
Okay.
Or why he wouldn't want to join us.
Okay.
That
what do you want to get across to him again?
That he's a part of the team and he's a valuable member of the team.
Okay. Now flip it and put yourself in his shoes. What would you want to hear first from your boss?
That you're a valuable member of the team, that you've had a lot of experience with the networking side, and we may be able to use your expertise. Well,
excellent.
Let me take out the may. We could use your expertise.
Good catch. Okay, let's rewind it and go.
Okay, wait. Before we go again,
yes.
I'm basically telling him that he would be viable, that we could use his expertise, but are we getting at why he doesn't want to go?
Is that a byproduct of starting out this way, you think?
Oh, maybe, unless he's feeling like, I have nothing to offer. Okay, let's go through it, okay?
Okay. It could be a little thicker, you know, skinned than you think, and it may not be as simple as just one conversation.
Right.
So you could be setting it up for the next, couldn't you?
Right. Yes, definitely.
Okay.
John, in the past you've mentioned that you want to go to Hammond, and tomorrow we've set up this meeting with the Cisco vendor to diagnose the network switch. And in the past you've made valuable contributions to the networking in Novell, and I think it would be beneficial for you to go. And I was wondering why you wouldn't want to join us.
Okay, let's take a little break.
Okay.
You just heard those words. You're in his shoes.
Yeah.
Is it any different than the one we did last?
Oh, just rephrase differently.
Mm-hmm.
How about just saying?
Think about what you want to do. You want to build him up and make him feel included to start with. That's what you had said?
Just say, I would like you to go.
Do you need to talk about the event to start?
The specific event?
Mm-hmm.
I guess not. Not if we're taking the big picture view.
Okay. So with that in mind, step back again, get at 30,000 feet, and think of what he needs to hear from you as his boss that he maybe has not heard heretofore.
that he's made valuable contributions to implementing the network, that he's been involved a lot in troubleshooting network issues.
Excellent. If you're in his shoes, is that what you want to hear? And then you'd be a little more receptive to other conversations?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Let's go.
Okay. Okay, I still see myself asking a question, but okay, we'll go with it. Okay. Daryl, you've been very involved in the networking and provided lots of contributions to the Novell networking and keeping the network up and running and troubleshooting it. Now, do we get to the specifics?
What feels right?
What feels right would be just what I said, and then carry on to maybe ask him. Is there something, do you think there's anything that you could benefit from by joining us in Hammond?
Okay, great. Good open-ended question.
Okay, so let me try to rephrase it.
Okay, good.
Okay. Daryl, you've played a critical role in the Novell networking and keeping the network up and running. And tomorrow we're meeting the Cisco vendor. And do you think there's anything that would be beneficial for you in joining us?
Well, there could be. I'm just not sure. I haven't really thought about it. You know, I've just been so busy, and I just don't know, Todd. I don't know.
Okay, I think like a salesman now, don't I? And that's why I need coaching.
You're doing a great job, and you're approaching this with, as we've talked about, the purity of intention is so good, Todd. And you want to get there, and you want to have these conversations with him. Okay, put yourself in his shoes and think of what's going to open me up. What do I need to hear from Todd that I have not heard yet?
Certainly, that you've provided a valuable contribution and have done a lot with the networking and. This would be an opportunity for all of us to learn together so we don't see ourselves as segmented in terms of jobs.
Excellent.
I think you have a lot to contribute.
Excellent. Okay, now give him, as we talked about last time, a little bit more of that window to your soul.
Ah, okay. Recently, I've realized that there's a lot of shortcomings that. Ooh.
Right thought.
Okay.
Could be a little different word. But that's okay.
Okay. Recently, I've realized that I've been really deficient in a lot of different areas, and I think one of them is can I just say team building, making sure we're all working together.
Is that what you want? Is that the way you want this to feel?
Well, I want to feel so he's not, like, isolated. So he's
excellent. Excellent. Okay.
Not like that we're all working as a group.
Great. Okay, go with it.
Okay. So, let me tell you, Jack, that, I don't want to guilt him into it either.
No,
okay.
But you're giving him that window to your soul, aren't you?
Right. So one of the things, Daryl, I've been working on recently is the deficiency that I think I have in terms of, like, bringing people together as a group. And I know I haven't done a very good job at it. I haven't done a good job, and I've been working on it, and I want to sort of have a more – create more of a team-like atmosphere so we all don't feel that we're doing a segmented job, that we're all in one. So that's why, you know, Brian's going to join us, Mary's going to join us. And you certainly, since you've certainly played a key, you've been a key figure in maintaining the network, that I would like you to join us.
How does that feel?
A little awkward.
Is it the right sentiment?
But it's the right sentiment, yeah.
Okay. Then
right
that sentiment. Shouldn't that be your
yeah.
key takeaway
yeah.
for that? As
yeah.
back think, to that purity of intention?
Right. I think if you're talking about the window of the soul would be, I haven't done a good job at trying to build a cohesive team
mm-hmm.
that we all tend to get segmented in what we're doing, and this is the opportunity for all of us to join in a sort of a group learning experience, and I invite you to join us.
Mm-hmm. Because he is.
Because he is and has played a key role in the network.
Excellent. Okay, put yourself in his shoes. How would you react to that versus why aren't you going to Hammond?
Wow, yeah, I would be like, I love you too, man.
Well, sir, the kumbaya thing shortly
yeah.
thereafter.
Yeah. Okay. Certainly much softer approach, certainly less managerial, less in-your-face type.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you reminded me about the window to the soul, the fact that, hey, you know, that I haven't done a very good job at some things. And I realize that, and I'm trying to change things. And here's an opportunity for us all. And
mm-hmm.
this is where I'm coming from, so I'm inviting you to come along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're asking him to do what you have been doing as well,
right?
Aren't you?
Yeah.
Daryl, make the changes with me. Let's go down this path together. I've got everybody else. You know, they're getting it, and they want to go, and they want to get better, and they want to build the team, and it's important that you're there with us. You're a valuable team member.
Yeah.
My guess is his reaction is going to be pretty darn good.
Yeah. And the one thing that he wouldn't have heard from me before is, I haven't done a good job at getting everybody to work together and building a team. I want to work on that. I've been deficient in that. And I'm inviting you along so we could all do this together.
Mm. How many people have you ever worked for that have the guts to make a statement like that, Todd?
Honestly, I've never heard anybody say that to me. that I've heard people say, oh, yeah, team's important. You know, we all need to work together. But here or previous jobs, I've never heard anybody come to me and say, you know, I haven't done a good job and I'm trying to do this.
Let's Does it feel right to you?
Yeah, because that's, yeah. Feels
great.
The right thing, and it leaves me with a positive outlook. More, yeah, the glass is half full, not half empty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I think, like we talked about before, the first step in having those conversations. So we're all together and working really, you know, as a unit, and not sort of as segmented individuals.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about the successes you've already had employing this. Think about the other relationships where
yeah.
it is met with great success.
Yeah.
And why do you think that is?
Sincerity of intention?
Mm.
No?
Oh, you tell me.
I think people
get it, don't they?
Yeah, they get it. I think it's like your phrase, sincerity of intention, that actually I'm willing to change, want to change, and want to invoke change around me.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And you're okay with the fact that he may not necessarily be a convert in the first conversation. It may take a little bit of time.
Yes.
So it's back to what we had talked about, the consistency.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And living this every single day with all of your people.
Yeah.
When are you looking to have this conversation with him?
This afternoon.
Okay. Do you feel prepared?
I feel much more prepared now than I was this morning.
Okay. Good. What I would ask you to do, Todd, is to, before you have that conversation with him,
mm-hmm.
and I've given you so many compliments around your journaling, which is absolutely stellar. I would journal what we talked about in terms of the outcomes, the takeaways from your vantage point, the takeaways from his vantage point, and just reinforce those points. It's okay if the words don't flow as scripted. You don't want that. You just want him to know that your heart's in the right place with this, don't you?
Right, yeah.
So I think if you have those pertinent points that you really want to get across, it'll flow that much better for you.
Yeah, okay. And it's okay just simply say, you know, so I would, you know, invite you to join us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's still open, and so he could still say, nah, I don't think so, or, yeah, you're right, maybe I'll go.
Instead of kind of getting in his, not really in his face, but putting him on the defensive,
right,
as you said earlier, what questions can you use that will not put him in that defensive position?
Yeah. Okay. Now
and you came up with some great ones.
Yeah, but, okay, can you remind me of one of them?
Well, the open-ended versus the specifics.
Is there anything that could benefit you?
Yes, that was a perfect question. Versus, what's the reason you're not going to Hammond?
Yeah.
So think about him. And given his behaviors so far, Todd, just the way he's been historically, is he looking for you to make a different type of effort for him to feel included?
I would say yes.
And some people need that.
Yeah.
In a leadership position, not everyone's going to need the exact same approach. Could be that, Mary, hey, Mary, I think you could benefit from this. Are you game? Boom, she's there.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
And it could be with Daryl that he's looking for some kind of sign.
Right.
And to really feel included, and you really want him there. It could be that he's looking for all those signals from you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up for today, Todd, and talk about what you discerned from this conversation and the takeaways for you.
Okay. The biggest one would be starting from, especially when you want to open up that dialogue, say with staff in this case, is don't necessarily drill down to the specifics, but like you said, take it from the 30,000-foot view. Be aware and let people know, you know, the things that they have to offer, and that they can they have perhaps more to offer than what they think,
mm-hmm.
and that from my perspective, from a quote-unquote managerial perspective, that I'm trying to build a better team, and by doing that, giving some insight to what I'm trying to accomplish, perhaps my deficiencies and how I'm working on them, and then invite them or him to join.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And do you feel more comfortable having not only this conversation with him, but other conversations like this with your people?
Yeah, and I think the more you do it, the more at ease you get. It's one of those practice things.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I love the work you did today, and I love the level of awareness, just even from your bike race to this conversation and kind of the ahas when you think about, oh, you know, how would he take that?
Yeah.
And coming away with, oh, he'd, you know, get very defensive if you heard words like that. So your level of awareness is going up every single week.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
It's a great thing. So well done. And
okay.
I'll look forward to chatting with you next week. And again, if you need anything in the interim, just feel free to give me a ring.
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks, Todd.
Okay.
Take care now.
Okay, bye.